All right, here is a short recap of today's exercise, and I'm going to do so by sharing my screen, and I need to make sure I get the right one. Here we are. So here's the exercise, and well, once you read in the data, you look at it and you see, here is a plot of what I measure compared to what I should be measuring in units of what I should be measuring. And if I measured the right thing, then I should get a sharp peak around zero. So that's our task. And what I do see is something which is wide, which is asymmetric, non-Gaussian, and has a long tail out here. So something is wrong in my method. And now it's up to me to see to what extent I can calibrate my way back. And a general warning about the exercise, here things go very well. Don't expect that in reality. But also remember that if you in reality can improve things by, it doesn't need to be that much, and typically you've made a good impact. So, and then also just one more thing. When this is not Gaussian, then there is some inherent effect which is dominant, right? Because if it was the result of a lot of small jittering effects, it should be Gaussian. So typically when you see something like this, which is not Gaussian and should be, well, there's something underlying and you should be able to find out. All right, so then we plot it in two dimensions for the signal light. And here we see that as a function of the signal luminosity, there's hardly any effect, right? And what is being done here is that for each bin in this two-dimensional space, for each bin in L-sig, we see how far we're off and we take the mean and the standard deviation. And hey, there's no effect, right? It's flat. If anything, then it's off by 15%. We measure 15% too high. We can also see that here, you know, we're a little above here on the average. Cool. That means that we could correct 15% down, but that's it we could do for that. But when you start putting in some of the other things you could correct for, then suddenly you see different shapes. And I think that I in the solutions could go about showing you here that this is the first one we see, but here, well, we see other fits, which definitely aren't flat. And from these, we go back and we correct, and then we should see a sharp peak coming out here. And the thing is, you should start by looking at one effect only, and correct for that. And then you should plot it here and see that it becomes sharper. The standard deviation goes down, and the mean becomes closer to zero and it becomes more Gaussian. If those are the case, then all is good. You're going the right direction. And then when you calibrate for the second thing, you should as input use your already calibrated for the first effect in. Because otherwise you will, for example, the offset of 15%, well, each calibration might correct 15% down and you end by being 50% below. Of course, you could correct your way back, but there might be other and more subtle effects. And if the effects are correlated, then it really has an effect. So then when you, in the end, have three consecutive corrections, then you're in a position to say, all right, I did the best I could in calibrating. And which functions to use? Well, try a few, but in the end, it's not overly important, I would say. Good, simple, and robust functions are good, simply because the more complicated it gets, the usually the less reproducible it is. And it's always better to, even if you think, this doesn't fit here and there, well, remember that not calibrating at all is, of course, much worse. So even doing it with a, well, simple approximate function is always better. So yeah. And in the end, you can also test if it really comes out to be Gaussian or not. And I think that's about it I want to say about calibration. And I hope that it will serve you well at some point in your near future when you come across something where you say, that's funny. I think we can do better.